Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello.
And Ash Millman.
Hello.
For the very last time, Ash Millman, but all those details will come clear the more people follow you along on social media and Ting. And for now, we're just going to talk about PS5 stuff, because that's the warm blanket potentially coming in the future that might make 2020 all right in the end. You never know. And we just thought we'd break down all the most anticipated games. I've kind of done them in slightly most anticipated order, starting with God of War 2, also known as God of War Ragnarok, the thing that they sort of ended their latest showcase with. And then they were like, oh, it's one more teaser, but it's literally the most teaser-ass teaser they could have teased. Like, it's a logo and nothing
teased.
Else.
I feel teased. I'm so excited for it. My mouth, the whole time I was like, oh, what? What's that noise? And then like, my mouth just went like, oh. And then I was like, oh, oh. And like, my jaw like unhinged like a giant snake and I slithered around the floor with excitement. I turned into Jormungandr. Like, I was like, oh, I am the world serpent and it's happening. I was so excited for God.
I thought they would do something a little bit more than just the logo, but like, that's very Metroid Prime 4 style. Just sort of like, we know this is coming. I did freak out at it being 2021 because that means it's only a 3-year turnaround between the first and the second one. Josh, what's your thoughts? Did it blow you away?
It didn't blow me away, but because it was just, you know, a little nice little logo, and I suppose we all kind of assumed it was going to happen anyway. Mm. Am I excited for it, though? Absolutely. Like, my mouth was also making sounds when the 2021 date popped up. That was the huge thing for me. Like, the fact that we're going to get this, hopefully, you know, touch wood, like, next year, like, that's going to be sick if that actually... If it happens, I'm not sure if it will. I think it'll get delayed. But
really?
A man's got a dream, you know?
First party stuff tends to be pretty locked though, right? I guess Days Gone got pushed quite a bit.
Last of Us got pushed quite a bit.
Every game they've put out.
I'm not even wrong. God of War. Just the hype for God of War will keep me like floating upon the little boat. Like, you know, that theme where they're sat on a boat going, oh yes. And there's like a theme of the picture of them in the boat, like the PlayStation theme.
I was thinking of that,
Ragnarok on before.
What's that cat that had the green boat, the little pea green boat, you know, that we all heard about?
Oh, and the owl.
Kids.
The owl and the pussy.
Yeah, I thought you were on about that, like some sort of fable. Anyway, there is that whole conversation around cross-gen stuff. We'll get to some other things that have become cross-gen, like Spider-Man and Horizon. There is a rumor going around that God of War 2 will also be cross-gen, mainly because the PS4 install base is like 100 million units. Where do you guys come down on cross-gen stuff? Do you think it would be a weird, almost like a missed opportunity to not make God of War 2 next-gen only?
Oh, for me it is. For me it definitely is. Like, if that's coming out on PlayStation 4, I will be a little bit, not worried, but a bit disappointed, because I want these kind of first party games especially to make the most of the next gen, you know, components. We're already seeing that in a way with Ratchet & Clank and Demon's Souls. They're exclusive, but Miles Morales and Horizon Zero Dawn, which is the strange one, like, they're coming to PlayStation 4. At launch, like when we're coming up to November, I can see the lines being blurred a little bit and having some first party still remain on the prior console. But when we get like a year in or 2 years in, if they're still coming to PlayStation 4 then, that's a strange move, because they just did not do that at all for the PlayStation 4 generation. Like everything after launch, first party wise, was just focusing on the new console and helping sell that console. So if they don't do it for God of War, I'll be like... I would just be picturing in my mind a potential God of War Ragnarok that would make the most of, like, you know, the SSD being able to jump between realms at like instantly and stuff like that. Could be sick, and I hope they are able to fulfill that potential.
It feels like that's the stuff they've been teasing as well, like all the one camera, one connected shot thing that apparently Bollock's been trying to get off the ground for a while. And they pulled it off like 99% in God of War, but then you still have to go to that realm between realms to load somewhere else. So I guess if they had the SSD, they could make it completely seamless. Is that what you were going to say, Ash?
No, I'm glad that it offers opportunity for people to like come to the new generation in their own time, because I do feel like that's kind of been the emphasis from both parties, is like kind of just come to it in your own time, get the experience that you want for the next generation, but you still have time on PS4 to make your way over to PS5, like when you're feeling ready, like mosey on over. I think that that's a good thing. I think that it's more inclusive of the fan base that they've got, and kind of, you know, celebrating that part of it. But I do absolutely agree that, like, I want to see God of War maxed out. Like, I want to see the potential realized, because it has potential anyway, just by being God of War, to be incredible and an incredible story. And for the gameplay to match that and kind of innovate on top of that, I'm very excited to see what they do with the PS5 version. And I would also hope that it wasn't inhibited by trying to appeal to a mass market, but I do respect the mass market, because hell, like, the more people that play it, the better. I want everyone to have the experience of God of War that I had. Like, I want this the second time around with this new game for everyone to be able to have that as well and go, oh my god, I need to play this, it's amazing, and I can.
The thing that makes me super curious is just, it is that sort of thing that's hanging over all the cross-gen stuff, all the idea of, like, even what Xbox are leading with, where it's like, you know, we have one console, the Series X, that can do 12 teraflops of floating data points and whatever, and then the Series S is like 4 flops or whatever, and it's such a big disparity between the flops that, like, you can't make, like, for me, I'm like, how do you make something that takes full advantage of that top tier system while still supporting the people quote unquote down below or whatever, and is that going to get in the way of stuff? Like, I'm just so curious how they balance those things out, and does it mean that, like, one game is just full of particle effects and ray tracing and reflections and everything, and the other one looks like a Switch game, looks like something that is just like texture devoid to make it work on the Series S? Like, I don't know. And then same with taking PS5 games and making them work on PS4, and that stuff is just like a weird approach, but I guess I have faith. Next, actually, I guess in terms of God of War 2, I think we did a podcast specifically on it, but just from the name Ragnarok, do you think they're going to go just full bore, all hell's breaking loose, Thor's doing his thing?
Oh, absolutely. I want to just smash Thor. Like, oh, that's what it is. Smash Thor. That's the game. But, you know, I think Ragnarok is... It's like the first game was kind of the prelude to it coming, and now it's going to be like, oh, hell, it's here. Hopefully.
I want this, next, like... Sorry, Scott. I was going to say, I want this mad, like, apocalyptic scale. I want a sense of doom hanging overhead in every possible scenario. I feel like you got that a little bit.
We're in 2020, mate. You don't need more of it.
I do. If I live it vicariously through Norse mythology, maybe it'll make me feel better about what's happening right now. You know what I mean? I could displace those feelings.
Perhaps. Speaking of Doom, the next one I've got down is one of the only PS5 exclusives, something that hasn't become cross-gen, and something that isn't on PC anymore, is Demon's Souls, which I think, Josh, is your most anticipated game.
It is. I'm so looking forward to this. It's so strange to be saying that my most anticipated PlayStation 5 game is a remake of a PlayStation 3 game. Like, that does not compute. And yeah, from 2009. And yet that was the one that looked the best at the showcase for me. That was the one that looked properly next gen. Like, the visuals on that thing and the animations were so crisp and so... Oh, they just did it for me, guys. Like, I'm looking forward to this so much, not only because it's the Souls game that I've not properly played. Like, I've never fully gone through Demon's Souls. I jumped on the Dark Souls, and even that was late. And I'm just excited to experience this kind of, like, rebuilt, and to make the most of the PlayStation 5, to have that at a launch day. Like, that's the one I'm definitely buying. I'm definitely going to get that. And I'm definitely going to get, like, Spider-Man as my two big PlayStation games. And hopefully... You know, because that is exclusive to the PlayStation 5, it does make the most of it. Like, we get our first glimpse of what the next gen could be without any of those potential limitations of trying to make it for a bunch of different versions and a bunch of different systems.
Well, they showed the warping thing, that there's one bit where they do, like, warps from one place to another and it's instant, so assumedly that is just SSD style, everything just loads right in, the levels right there. So I like the idea of that. Ashmi, as a humongous Souls fan, are you going to be getting this as well?
Oh yeah, someone who has vocally spoken about her love of the Souls series a lot, many times.
Can't get enough of Sekiro, are you?
I love the Soulsborne games. I love all of them, and I love From Software games. No, I think this one actually, you know what? I've said it a lot over the years that I'm not like the biggest fan, surprisingly. I do want to give Demon's Souls a go. I want to kind of approach it and go, look, right, we've had our difficulties, we've had our issues over the years. Like, let me in, let's see how this goes. And it does look delicious and appealing. Like, I've seen it and gone, I do want to try that, even though I know it will frustrate the hell out of me and I'm going to be like, oh my God, why did I do it to myself again? I am actually interested in like feeling the pain once more. Maybe I've grown patient in my older age. Maybe I will be like, oh yes, actually I can do this. I can do my dodging and my parrying. Maybe it will appeal this time around. But I'm interested to see what the system can do, and it coming out on launch, I think, is the most appealing part of all. Like, yes, even if it is balls hard, at least I can be like, well, this is the next generation.
The idea of them like doing something like this, like a game, a franchise that is known for being just ludicrously, like, I was gonna say cheap, like it is, like ludicrously cheap and annoying. It's not that I'm not a huge Souls fan, but it is. It's very cheap. It batters you down, and then you fight back, and that's the joy. Like that being one of your first experiences of next gen, like you would hope that works. But I remember when Bloodborne came out, and the way that was advertised as like a full on Lovecraftian action game, and all the comments on Sony's posts back when that first came out were like, what the hell is this? I've bought this thing and I can't get past the opening level, etc. I don't know, like, you have to assume people know what the hell Demon's Souls is. But also, I was gonna say, Josh, like, the amount of Souls games that I guess all of us really have been through or played, like, how many modernizations you think they'll bring to that game, because it's the one that started it all. But like, then they're now taking, like, you know, they've obviously on From Software side went through the Souls games, Bloodborne, Sekiro, and then Bluepoint are like now taking this over. But do they like Tony Hawk's it and just cherry pick what features work from the other games?
Yeah, it's gonna be funny, because obviously, you know, Demon's Souls has its, you know, diehard fans who are looking forward to this being like a realization of everything they loved about the original. But the original, at least as far as I'm aware, you know, had a lot of idiosyncrasies, had a lot of quirks that, you know, if you're a fan of Dark Souls, if you're a fan of Bloodborne, it kind of seemed like limitations or seemed like a strange step back or a bad design decision. So I wonder whether if they do tweak those or try to update them to be more in line with the other Souls games or Bloodborne and stuff like that, or try to, you know, change little things like they did with the first Uncharted remaster, you know, changing the way that the action worked and the grenades worked and stuff. I wonder if they do bring tweaks to it, because ultimately I do feel like most people playing this version of Demon's Souls probably won't have played the original Demon's Souls. Like, I'm sure people who love that game will be flaming me in the comments right now, but I think Brass Tacks, you know, a lot of people didn't buy it because it was PlayStation 3 exclusive. They didn't know what it was. It didn't get much of a marketing push back in the day by Sony, but now it's being treated as this big thing. It's there at launch. It's the biggest Bluepoint, you know, project ever. It's got this heritage behind it and this reputation. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, 90% of players, 80% of players are like new players who would probably want those tweaks, those quality of life tweaks to be there. So it is going to be interesting how much they change and whether they add anything on, whether they add on, like, you know, unfinished levels or stuff like that to kind of, the experience doesn't need fleshing out, but there were unfinished things that could be implemented, you know?
I think, like, I think it'll, I mean, they showed like backstabbing in the trailer, which I think came in with Dark Souls 2. I don't remember that being in there earlier, but like, I think a lot of people, like mainstream crowd, will think that it's the new, that it's new, that it's like the new, it's the Souls successor, because like the Souls series didn't take off till Dark Souls. And then it's like, well, assumedly this is the next thing. But yeah, I'm curious how that goes. I think it's a nice like addition to their portfolio alongside like Spider-Man and whatever. But yeah, the next one down is Spider-Man Miles Morales, which was a PS5 exclusive and now it's coming to PS4. Which is a whole thing, but they haven't, so far I don't think they've shown the PS4 edition yet, but I assume it'll just be the PS5 looking one with the reflections, the particle effects, whatever stuff you can trim off the top to make it work on PS4. But where are you guys?
Graphics.
I don't know how they do it, because they haven't really like shown side by side stuff, and I guess that's one of the biggest questions, is like how do you make something for PlayStation 5, because assumedly this has been in development for both systems the whole time, and then now it's like, oh well, you know, this is the big deluxe one, spend half a grand so you can play. But also, you know, you can play on PS4 and that's totally worth the money as well. So I don't know how the hell they split that.
I think most of it's like, it seems like upgrading and stuff, like with Cyberpunk coming out in November, but having like the upgrade to the PS5. I think it's more like built, you'd assume it's built for like a PS4 system, and then with like a patch that makes it better and bolder and brassier. But I have no idea how the technical side works. Again, I'm glad that, again, everybody gets a chance at playing it. But it is an interesting question of quite how it works and how it's come about.
Like, how do you maintain a value proposition for like a full price title on both consoles, where one of them is supposed to be a meaningful next gen version? Like, that's the thing that just blows my mind.
I feel like we've always had this problem. We've always had cross-gen games where you can visually see the limitations of the old-gen game, you know, with Battlefield 4, when that was a launch game for PlayStation 4, like, the players were cut in half for the current-gen version, while the next-gen version got 64 players on these, like, bigger maps and stuff.
And so I mean players cut in half there, but you mean the player pool. It's
like, well, literally cut in half, but when it comes to, like, Spider-Man, like, that presumably is a game not built around the one exclusive feature that kind of properly differentiates the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 5, which is like the SSD. Something like Ratchet and Clank wouldn't work on PlayStation 4, presumably, because it is built around that SSD and like jumping between worlds instantaneously, whereas Spider-Man, it's mostly, by the looks of things, implemented to boost load times, boost the speed in which you can swing. You know, so I do feel like we'll get two mechanically... games that are mechanically the same, but the PlayStation 4, like you said, just won't have the ray tracing, won't have those extra particle effects, won't be as quick to load, and those features will be in the PlayStation 5. And I do feel like, you know, like that's enough. That's enough of a jump, at least in my head, to get all of those extras. Like, that keeps the value proposition high, where you've essentially maxed out the PlayStation 4 and you cannot get them there, so that still justifies the full price. But then you are getting these extra bells and whistles for Miles Morales PlayStation 5 if you want them to show off what the PlayStation 5 can do in a limited capacity. Because I guess at the end of the day, you know, we never get the most out of next-gen consoles right at the start. It takes right until the end. So, you know, it's not like you can increase the price as the years go on or whatever until you hit that, okay, this is true next-gen, you know what I mean?
Just, like, I think with them, it feels like one of the first times they've done, like, cross-gen first-party stuff, like, from off the top of my head. Like, you know, like, obviously Killzone and Knack and everything was PS4 only. And then in terms of cross-gen stuff last-gen, it was, like you said, with Battlefield or, like, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, that had the, there was, like, a certain rain effect that was only in the PlayStation 4 version, but it was, like, nothing. And so, I'm curious, like, how you sort of split that difference. But I am fascinated by it. The other game that went cross-compatible is Horizon Forbidden West, which I think was a bigger blow to a lot of people online, because it looked so gorgeous and everything that they've shown so far, and assumedly that's running on PS5. So regardless of repeating ourselves, I guess, for how do they make that work on PS4, let's just talk about that game in general. Ash, you were a massive fan of Horizon Zero Dawn.
All the stuff, I just love all of the exclusives from this generation. Like, all of them are amazing. They've really knocked out the park. And, like, Forbidden West, I'm just excited. Like, I don't have any more words than it looks really good. It looks incredibly pretty. I want to see what Aloy is up to. I want to go back to that world of mechanical nature and just have a nice time, because it looks fantastic. And, like, I'm still popping from, like, the Legolas reference in the trailer from, like, you know, when she's, like, pulling a bow. And
like the Oliphant thing, yeah.
Bionic things. Just love it. I just live, laugh, love it. I'm just ready for it. I'm so ready.
Do you think they'll, like, change that much about the combat? Because it's weird, right? Because, like, obviously that game came out in, like, 2017, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2017, same year as Breath of the Wild. And it was, like, one of my games of the year, and I thought it was phenomenal. I still love the world and the characters and everything else. But I went back to it because I thought I'd play back through it before Forbidden West. And that game's combat, I didn't think it held up, like, at all. And I remember at the time some people saying that, and I was like, no, it's crazy, it's amazing, it's beautiful, I absolutely love it. But when I went back to it, I just didn't find it to be that responsive. And, like, I don't know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it is
responsive. I think that the combat is great, but I think once you stick to a technique, then you don't need to do too much else if you know what you want to do. I think I used, like, the sling the whole time and just, like, bombed creatures.
Lots of tripwires
as well. That was it. I was like, well, there we go. But I think the choice of having, like, the tripwires, the bombs, arrows, everything, I think the scope for that and how that can grow and different arsenals and different effects you can put on things. And I think having more stuff that's, like, doesn't have weaknesses but has only ways you can attack it, sort of thing. Just kind of, like, digging down into that and making you make the use of your arsenal a bit more. That obviously is absolutely welcome, but I do defend Horizon Zero Dawn's combat, because it felt fun. I thought, like, it was just blowing stuff up the whole time.
I think it was just, like, in a couple of spots I wanted to, like, experiment more. Like, I like the idea of, like, I'm running up the side of a cliff and jumping off and coming crashing down with, like, a melee thing, and then I'm going to equip this explosive arrow and fire it over here. And, like, when those things come together, they're great. But I don't know, there was something about returning to it where it just felt a bit off. But I can't necessarily pin that down other than just advancements in general genre stuff since then. Josh, what's your thoughts on the old Forbidden West?
Well, it's just funny because I've not really played Horizon since it came out. I had a steamy 50-hour love affair with Horizon at launch, but it only lasted, like, a week, and I haven't touched it since, so I have these fond memories of it, but I don't have that, you know... I guess, familiarity with it that I suppose a lot of other people do. It was a rush and it was great and I loved it, but I'm intrigued to go back to it because I do want to play it again in time for the second one. But I'm going to be really intrigued to see if it feels as fresh as it did at the time, because at the time it was like Sony's like first big kind of like first party action RPG that they'd done in like a long time, and it kind of was this new thing for the PlayStation 4. But now we've had so many big action RPG style open world games from Sony now that I wonder whether I've kind of grown a bit familiar with that formula, or whether the other titles, even like Days Gone, or you know, even like The Last of Us with its semi-open world elements, or God of War, have kind of iterated on what Horizon Zero Dawn started to the point where I might go back and think the same as you, like, oh, this isn't...
No, no is what I say. I played it after I did everything else. I played it after God of War and all that sort of thing. Well, like last year, I think it was the end of last year that I like absolutely smashed through
whenever
it.
We did a podcast on it, because then we did like a story predictions thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it was last year. Obviously, we've had like Last of Us 2 and that sort of thing since then. But I, like from my memory in that time period, I was like, oh my God, what have I been missing out on? Like, it wasn't like a disappointment. I didn't think at all. But
it's nothing even close to anything remotely negative. It was just that idea of going back to it and thinking it would still be like,
going, ooh, I hate still Horizon thinking it Zero Dawn. Like,
blow you away that much as it did the first time. And I kind of just, I don't know, I was expecting this like crazy kinetic fighting system because I remembered all of these ways I was chaining stuff together. And then it was, like I said, it was a little bit clunky. The UI was a bit messy and whatever. And but like I said, I was never one of those people back in 2017 going like, oh, it's not that great. I was Johnny Defender back then. But then when I went back to it the other month, I was like, oh, it's
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Anyway, something that's kind of a PS5 launch game just by default is Cyberpunk 2077, because it's out on the same day as the PS5 release date over here. wipe you down. But the only way that it's a PS5 quote-unquote launch game is because it's backwards compatible. It's not actually the PS5 version. So, we can still talk about it, though, because what do you call them? CDPR, their official Twitter thing, did tweet out saying, like, oh, technically, with the eyes emoji, we are a PS5 launch game. It'll just be coming a week after the US release date for the PS5. But yeah, Cyberpunk arriving on PlayStation 5. What's your thoughts?
Hell yes. More hell yes.
Ash, Scott, I need your help because I'm having a crisis at the minute.
It's no, not more negativity about good games. No, I can't handle it.
It's not negativity. It's too much goodness, if you want to put it that way, right? Okay. So this morning, obviously, you know, we were talking about this. Find out that it's going to be there like day and date with the release of the new consoles. Great. I can't wait to play that on the PlayStation 5. What a way to break that baby in. But at the same time, the next gen enhancements aren't coming until much later. So what do I do? Do I play it now or do I wait for those next gen enhancements to come? Because when it comes to like the next gen versions, like I'm not going to play this game twice. So do I wait?
Okay. This is why you didn't play Ori and the Will of the Wisps, because you were like, oh, I'm going to wait until I get like an Xbox One X. I'm going to wait. Do not wait and play the thing that's good. Just play the thing that's good. It'll be good. Please.
Play it and then upgrade it. Don't play it again, but just like, you know, just go into the world and go, ah, yes, now I see. And then maybe you'll want to play it again. It's so big, you could do different pathways, is the thing, because it's such a big game. You could do like your, I'm trying to think of the names of the things, I know, like Nomad and the
like the Corporal, you know what I mean? And whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so you could do your own path one way and then go, right, now, level me up, and then go to the next one.
I do have a question, JB, did you play Skyrim more than once?
No.
Oh, you only ever started it once?
I started it, but here's the thing, I never like finished it and I never got anything else out of those extra playthroughs. I just had my one main save. And then I've tried to go back to it about 10 times. I bought it on PlayStation 4 again.
Josh Brown's like never finished Skyrim, is that what
I bet it'll come to PlayStation 5 and you can play it there. Like, it's been on every console. So.
It'll be on the new Apple smartwatch by the end of the day.
I've only recently started replaying games. You know, I had the great replay year of last year when I went through like all the Metal Gear Solids, all the Gears of War. I went through The Witcher again at the start of this year. That was great. But in reality, if I'm being truthful to myself, because I do know how terrible I am, it will take me like 5 years to replay Cyberpunk. I'm not going to do it straight away.
Okay, then Cyberpunk too. My point was going to be that if you're one of those people who's replayed Skyrim, I haven't replayed Skyrim all the way through. I finished it once and then restarted a bunch of different characters and explored that way. But that's the mentality I'm carrying into Cyberpunk, or it would be in regards to the next gen stuff. Like I fully intend on just hammering it when it comes out in November. And then whenever they put the next gen thing out, which I assume will be Q2 or whatever, 2021, then I'll go back to it and see what the changes are. But again, my general gut thoughts on cross-gen stuff is that they can't do that much with it because then it invalidates the other.
Sorry, I've got to stop and say gut thoughts.
My gut take is that I wonder how much they can actually do to it to make that next one work. But CDPR have said that the next-gen upgrade is free and they'll knock it out the park in regards to applying stuff, you know, whatever they can do to it. They're doing the same with Witcher. But yeah, Ash, what are your thoughts? Just play it in November as soon as possible.
Yeah, man. Get on it, get playing, get driving around my car, say hello to Johnny Keanu and get going. Just get going. I just want to dive on in. I don't think I can hold myself off for like the upgrades if there's that little wait between. I think it's mostly just get in, get playing, and then think about the enhancements afterwards. You know, that's my take on it. It's absolutely just getting in and play.
Yeah, at some point in the future, you'll go back to it. Like, even if, you know, if you finish it, because honestly, it's Skyrim to me. It's the ever game. Like, it's just, it's there and I'm never going to see all of it. But like, even to this day, I don't feel like I've seen everything in Skyrim and I kind of love that. And I hope that it is the sci-fi version of that. Another game down is Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil Village, which they haven't, I thought they showed a surprising little amount of that at the latest showcase. It was just like, here's what you've already seen for the most part with an additional shot of the witch or whatever. And then another shot of what looks like a zombie werewolf hybrid. But I really want to see that. If they're inventing a new horror monster thing that's like a blend of the two, then I think that's really, really cool. And where are you guys on Resident Evil Village in general?
Josh, I know you're the big like Resi fan here, so please take this away.
You know what? I'm so hesitant to talk about it because I feel like I'm being very negative on this podcast. And when it comes to Resident Evil 8, I just don't know what to say.
I think that they are yet to sort of do like an, oh my God, it's the next Resident Evil, like holy hell. But I give them the benefit of the doubt though.
I give them the benefit of the doubt. It's just that the two trailers we've seen so far haven't really blown me away. And I feel like, you know, I love the idea. I think the idea is quite cool, even though that kind of, you know, more fantasy element isn't necessarily for me. I still thought they pulled it off quite well in Resident Evil 4. And I'm here for the zombie werewolf things. I'm here for this kind of like folklore take on it.
There's a new merchant as well.
Exactly. It's playing into its history. It's playing into its heritage. But the footage we've seen, for me, looks choppy. It looks strange. It looks like it's not completely polished. It doesn't feel like a confident, this is the next gen of Resident Evil. It just kind of feels like, this is Resident Evil. We'll patch it up by the time it's out, I promise. I don't know why I get this feeling, but I have this weird sense of dread, this kind of weird, weird sense of dread that they're not really confident in it. And I don't know why I've got that feeling.
I do have a thing with when Resident Evil 7 went first person, it felt like a reaction to PT. And I know that that game would have to be in development for longer than PT came out for them to even put that together. And Capcom got out there and said, look, this is what we were going to do anyway. It was going to go first person anyway. And it was like, yeah, I never really bought that. I always felt like they were responding to like the new wave of like first person stuff, like whether it's Slender Man or that one, you know, Dear Esther, whatever, this sort of slow crawly, slow burn stuff. There's another game that I can't think of, Outlast, stuff like that. And so when they went first person, I was like, yeah, whatever, I guess. And then I'm kind of getting a similar vibe from this, where they're sort of reading the terrain a little bit, because their third person stuff has now taken off again. But they're like, well, we went in this direction with 7, so I guess we kind of have to do that again. And it's like, Resident Evil 2 Remake is perfect. Just do more of that.
But we've already got Resident Evil Remake 2, Scott. We've got
no, but just do another third person one is what I mean.
Just you there, man. Just celebrate the joys of these things. Honestly, maybe I'm incredibly easily pleased because I saw Zombie Werewolf and I saw, you know, mythology, folklore, a little bit of toying around with what we know in the horror tropes. I think I'm just excited by like, I love fantasy being brought into horror and dark fantasy, and this seems to play on that. So maybe it's just my personal taste coming into this, where I'm like, holy hell! But I get the things that you're saying you're worried about, but just seeing Resident Evil with the three little lines come down is like, wow! Look at that stylistic choice. Wow! Look at that title design. I'm so on board. I don't know. I honestly can't sit here and say I'm not excited for Resident Evil 8. Not that I'm saying you guys.
I don't think we can either. Maybe.
But like, you know what I mean? I'm so hopeful for this next generation. I feel like so much work has gone into it. I'm like, it's got to be good. It's going to be amazing. I want something to come along and just like kill my hope before I'm negative about anything. Like,
I just think they need to do like, because it reminds me a little bit of Bloodborne. Again, it's just me going like, oh, you guys are chasing something rather than doing your own thing. And like, that's they can rein that back in if they invent a new monster. They invent this sort of variation on, like I said, zombie werewolves. Like that hasn't been done as far as I know, at least outside of like C-tier horror schlock. And I want to see that in like, you know, given like a proper production and stuff. It's just a bit of a curious one. And one of the most recent ones, which I think we'll have the least to say about, is that Final Fantasy 16 is a full console exclusive, which apparently it is, but then according to Eurogamer it's actually a timed exclusive. They just haven't said that officially yet, so I guess we'll see. But I think I'm the only person who has played most Final Fantasies. Do you guys give a hoot about the old Final Fantasy coming to PS5? I didn't think so.
Wow, the silence is definite. That's amazing. I was hoping Ash is going to take this because I've got nothing
that
more.
That proves my point, like, okay. Entirely.
Yeah.
If you want, like, that's my negativity for this. I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, cool. That's my take on that. I'm like, cool, yeah, more.
Mm-hmm. It makes me curious where the IP is in general, because obviously it's such a known quantity, but I feel like Final Fantasy at this stage is only beloved by Final Fantasy fans. I don't feel like people can come in anymore. And I think a lot of people checked out Final Fantasy VII Remake because of its reputation. But I remember when 16 got unveiled, and like I was like, Ash, we were messaging about trying to identify the airship from the early advert thing. And yeah, you were saying like, you know, there's 16 entries in, like, holy hell.
Yeah, just typing like, you just 16.
Yeah, and it's like that whole thing of like, I mean, for me, it's common knowledge that they're all separate things, but I know that even Ewan found out just last year that they're not all one giant saga. So I think that they could maybe do with some sort of brand clarifying thing for the next generation or a new generation of players that might help them. That all said, 16 looks brilliant, and I think the trailer that they've got, the gameplay footage, looks phenomenal, and hopefully that'll be good. We have two more things to end on, which we can do quite snappily. One is Godfall. Josh, you said you're quite psyched for this. I am not at all.
I want to clarify.
Just want Resident Evil 8, but he wants a bit of Godfall.
I do not. I'm not psyched for Godfall. And in fact, even though I've seen so many trailers, so many gameplay walkthroughs, I can barely tell you what it is. But the fact that it's coming out on launch
is
making me go, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it because it's there day one. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like this is a game. You were talking about chasing trends there. This feels like a game that feels like an amalgamation of everything to the point where it's almost kind of, it just blurs.
Like Dark Souls, loot system.
Yeah. I think it was at the last PlayStation 5 thing, or was that one event recently where they showed the big gameplay reveal and you had one of the developers talking through and they were explaining how blocking works, how you know, swinging a sword works, and I'm like, where's the uniqueness? Where is the USP to this game? Because it does feel like an amalgamation of everything, and that might make for an okay time. It might make for a really pretty time, but I'm just I want
it's going up against Demon Souls though, like on the same day.
Like I don't want any game to like fail, but I just I don't know who the audience is for this, if that makes sense. I don't know anyone who are out there who's like really all in on Godfall, and I hope they do exist, and I would like to know those people because I want to be excited for it because it is coming out as an exclusive on day one.
Ash, you've got a bit of positivity, or the positivity buckets that you can sort of splash around a bit. Are you a bit of a fan of the old?
I've been splashing my positivity bucket because we've been talking about all the things that I'm very excited for, and you pair of going, oh, maybe. This one, I'm also like, this one is another one that I'm like, oh, I'm glad that it's happening. I'm glad that's there for you, whoever you is. But like, I it's one I'll check out and be like, oh, cool. I like a bit of, you know, big chunky armor and sword play. But like, it looks fine.
It needs something else to it, I think, than just being a big shiny loot based Dark Souls. But then again, that collection of terms will make someone go, oh my god, I've been waiting for like a really good run based Dark Souls or something where I can sort of chase loot and stuff. So there is that. Actually, I lied before, I said two more games. There are now two more games, which we'll do quite quickly. One of them is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, which seems like one of the most promising things because it's actually built from the ground up for the PS5 with the SSD in mind and everything like that. And the more they show that off, the more I just want to bask in the glory of entire worlds and levels just loading instantly. I love the idea of that. I don't know where the Ratchet and Clank IP is in general in terms of, like, you know, do people get that psyched for Ratchet and Clank? I do, but I love little furry things and everything, and Ori in the Blind Forest and whatever.
Scott, confirmed furry.
I love the furries. I'm a big fan of that whole thing. So I'm looking forward to anything that looks like a Pixar movie that I can play. Where are either you guys, I guess, Josh, where are you at on Ratchet and Clank and what they've shown so far?
Yes, I'm like fully back. Like after the 2016 remake, reboot, reimagining thing, like I love that. Like you said, it looks and feels like a Pixar movie, like you can play it essentially. Like it looks gorgeous. And this looks even better. And I don't know how it manages to look even better every single time. When it comes to like these more animated games, like I always feel like we hit a ceiling. I felt like we hit a ceiling with the original Ratchet and Clank, and we've just completely
in 2002.
Yeah, we completely skyrocketed back then. Back then, I was like, graphics won't get better than this. Yeah. Obviously, look where we are now.
Everybody thought that about 2D Mortal Kombat as well, because it was like, well, it's real. It's an actual photo that you're like moving and controlling. It can't get better than this. So it's, totally. Yeah, it happens every decade. It did.
But with this new one, the most interesting thing is that it's built, like you said, from the ground up. That the fact that you're going to be jumping between these different realms, like instantaneous. Like, I think that's such a cool concept, being able to jump from one distinct art style and one distinct type of level, like to the next with a radically different like aesthetic and, you know, art design. Like, that's so cool. I love anything in horror games, right? And bear with me right now. Where you are in a kind
Ratchet
of
Ratchet and Clank, known horror game.
Where you're in a room and you know when you like go through a door and you turn around and the door's gone and there's something else entirely there.
Right.
Like that concept absolutely rocks my world. And if we manage to get something similar to Ratchet and Clank in like this fun, energetic cartoon.
I can only think of like Titanfall 2 and Jedi Fallen Order that have done that. Because they're both Respawn as well. Like
I know Layers of Fear does it, but again, it's like horror games, you know.
Cool, because they're sort of like horror set pieces in those games too, or like mind-bending bits where you're going down a corridor, you turn around and it's completely different. Yeah, the sheer tech side of that, like re-rendering a level behind you while you're not even looking, is like really, really cool. The last game we can talk about is Deathloop. Ash, you wanted to mention this, I think, before we started recording. Are you a big old fan of the Arcanes?
I just think it looks innovative and interesting. It's the one I see people talking about the most, like online. I see people bringing up Deathloop as something that's really caught their attention, and I think that it's worth talking about because of that. It's one of those ones that I feel like cautiously like watching from the sidelines, so I'm not sure if it's gonna super duper appeal to me or if it's just an interesting concept, you know, I'll dip in and out of. But like looking at it and like it being this big time loop on this island and figuring it out and kind of, you know, that replayability kind of value of figuring things out and going through it and deciding exactly where everything is and how you're going to do all of these killer, crime, assassin stuff while you've been chased down by someone else who might be multiplayer and might be not. I just think it's got so many like different things mixed in there that herald in a new generation of going, well, what the hell is this? It's well worth being like, Deathloop is on the map, on the radar. So yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with it, where it comes from. The style of it is gorgeous. It looks pretty. The way that they've advertised it's great. Yeah, like all of it. Like I'm really interested to see what it is. It's one of those ones that I'm like, I'll write a little note about that. Like,
I don't mean to be Jimmy Negativity again, but I'm just lost with what that game is, because I'm just like, is it a multiplayer thing? Is it a single? Is it more of a story-based game that has multiplayer elements? Are they dynamic? Is it Dark Souls style? Do other players drop in when you're doing something else? I don't know what that thing is. And I'm so curious for them to show off more of it, but I have such faith in Arkane. I mentioned in, the original PS5 showcase video that it's Arkane and Respawn for me, like the two top tier first-person devs that just do really unique things with that, with the genre itself. Josh, where you are on a bit of the old Deathloop?
I'm so pleased you're here, Ash, right? Because I've done so many lovely videos for Scott Tilford where we've just butted heads over this game, because I'm really looking forward to it. And you are not quite sure on it, but yeah, I think the concept is so neat. And I also agree that Arkane have just been doing so many innovative and original things in the first-person shooter space that every single time I see it, I get more confident about it. It just completely comes out, and I feel like it knows what it is. Some of the players might not be on that same wavelength, but it has a vision, and I feel like it's just committed to it. And that is in a world of Godfalls, in a world of so many homogenized games, I'm here for something that just says, we're going to try to do something quite unique, and we're going to do it well, I guess, hopefully.
Like I said, I have total faith in the devs. I just want to see more of it. I want to see some more outright gameplay, because they have such a stylistic element to it that I think the trailers are edited to be this really, really cool, 70s detective style time-bending thriller thing. And I want to see a little bit more for it. But yeah, you can let us know what you think down in the comments below, your most anticipated PS5 games, or you can come find us over on social media to keep up with stuff over on there. And for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
And Ash Millman for the very, very last time.
Goodbye. Oh, my friends. It has been an honor podcasting with you and doing this fun gaming stuff. So thank you for having me. And thank you for watching, audience, as well.
Absolute legend. Yeah, you can go find Ash on social media to keep up with what she's doing next. We wish you the very, very best. Genuinely, it's been awesome. And we'll catch you very soon.
My heart, my tiny heart.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.